right, any survivors in the house today? There we go. Yeah, survivor, man. We are learning to survive. It's been a summer of survivor as we're learning what it means to be a survivor. It's the basically what we're learning is this, is that it's an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude of a Christian that we should be our first response when we face trouble, when we face crisis, when we face the heat, when we face the pressure. Our first attitude should be, I'm going to survive. And far too long, we hit the panic button, and it takes us a while to come back to reality, thinking, all right, I'll survive this. But really, it should be our first reaction when we face a crisis is that, okay, all right, this is going to be tough. This may be a little painful. This ride may be a little bumpy along the way, but you know what? I'm going to survive it. God is on my side, and I am more than a conqueror according to God's word. The first 4 weeks we've been talking about this. Now, I hope you're taking notes, right? Are you taking notes? I hope you're taking notes. You need to be taking notes. Any teachers tell me who always makes the best grades in the class? Those who what? Those who take notes, right? You can't study properly if you don't take notes. You won't retain properly if you don't take notes. So I hope you're taking notes because we're giving a lot of information out over the last few weeks, and you really need to be writing this down. So you can go back later and tweet it and Facebook it and all that good stuff right there. You got it right there. All right. We've been talking about the first 4 weeks of the sermon. We talked about the series. We talked about how to handle the heat and the pressure of life and basically our first response and more inspirational. Now, the second half of this, the last 2 weeks, including this week now, we have been talking about the faith part of it, the faith part of surviving. And I believe they go hand in hand. Someone says, you know, we got to learn to fight. We really do. We really got to learn to fight. And we've been talking about learning to fight. And Timothy said this, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, it's the faith fight we're in. He said, fight the good fight of what? Faith. It's a faith. That's why we're using, some of you may be thinking, Pastor, what are you teaching on faith when it comes to surviving? Because we see in Scripture where it says that faith is a part of our spiritual warfare. It's a fighting thing. When we see in the Bible, it says that you and I, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, do we? That's why he says the things we're wrestling against are spiritual things. They're principalities. They wrestle in the heavens through our prayer, through our praise. It's a spiritual attack. And the same thing, this is a spiritual muscle that we use to fight. It's the spiritual muscle of faith. And so if we fight with faith, how many think it's a good thing that we would learn to know what faith is? I mean, how many remember a generation when your dads taught you how to fight? Remember that generation? Nowadays, you're afraid to teach a kid to fight because you know what's going to happen to school. But I went to a school where early on, my first part of my elementary school and even the first part of my junior high, I went to a private school. My parents made me go to this Christian school where we had Christians there, and then everybody else who was kicked out of public school came there as well. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so it was a pretty rough crowd, really, tell you the truth, because look at all the kids that were kicked out of public school. And all the grades were together, you know. So we had all the way from kindergarten to high school in the same building, even though the classes were broken up in pods, obviously. But, you know, we were all together. We all ate lunch together. We all did recess together. You know, it was all out there together most of the time. And so you had to learn to fight because, you know, you had guys that were 3 and 4 years older than you that were out there picking on you. I remember Dad went and bought me a pair of boxing gloves, and he got down on his knees, and he taught me how to spar, you know, and we jab, and, you know, we'd go at it, man. I'd just go full force, and he taught me how to defend myself because I had to use it. At some point, he's realized, like, Dad, I can't go up there with you every day, son. You're going to have to learn how to defend yourself. At some point, you're going to have to stand up for yourself and look these guys in the eye and be ready to fight if it comes down to that. And anyway, that had to happen. And so the same thing here, I believe this is what we're doing as we're talking about. I feel like I'm giving you spiritual boxing gloves today and saying, at some point, you're going to have to learn to stand and fight. At some point, you got to say, PG's not going to be with me today. I got to learn to stand and fight. I've got to learn to stand and fight. God, I got to learn to flex my faith muscle and fight this fight of faith that Paul so talked about. So today, I want to talk to you about what level. What's your faith level today? What is your faith level? We talked about last week that the dimensions of faith. Remember the dimensions. So we talked about the higher dimensions. And for many of us, our level of faith is just accessed at our salvation. Through grace and through faith, we receive grace at salvation. And for many of us here, that's the only time we really access the spiritual faith, that we have was the faith to reach out and accept Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, that salvation. And but for all of us here, there is dimensions of faith that God has wanted us to grow in. It doesn't just end with salvation, but it's just the beginning. And we should be growing in our faith just like we're growing and maturing, and it should never stop. It should never stop. Our faith growth, our faith walk should never stop. We should be constantly growing in our faith. And so if we're going to learn to fight in our faith, we got to grow. We got to garner the skills. So we've been talking about these things the last couple of weeks. Let's jump right back into it. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1 today. Hebrews 12:1, verse 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this whole chapter talks about faith, okay? So as you see the pre-verse here, this is the verse kicking off this chapter. This whole chapter, Hebrews really talks about faith. The whole book of Hebrews is talking about faith, especially chapter 12. So just get that as you're reading this. Realize this whole thing is talking about our faith. Since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, basically these great people of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily traps us and snares us and lets us run. What? Let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. Run with endurance the race, as I said before. So how many know we got to have endurance? Have you ever went to the gym to work out for the first time when you haven't worked out in a long time? And you get on the treadmill or the elliptical, or you try to get out and run around the block, you know, think I'm gonna start off running 1 mile today, and then tomorrow 2 miles, and the next day 3 miles. I mean, we just think we're gonna jump right into it. And you get out there and you get around the block and you're like, you get on the elliptical and you set your goal for 45 minutes, you know, and you get there and within 3 minutes your legs are burning, your thighs are burning, and you're like, oh God, you know, you're like, you're just burning and you want to give up, but the girl next to you is going strong and you're like, I can do this. You're burning. Why does it do it? How do you get to where you can do it? It takes endurance, doesn't it? It takes through exercising. You got to do it more than once. You got to do it more than 1 week. It takes consistency to build up endurance. So keeping that in mind, it says we're to do it consistently. We run with the race, with endurance. It says we run the race once a year and see if we can make it. No, it's with endurance. That means we condition ourselves ahead of time. Stay conditioned to run this race that's before us. What race are we talking about? It's a faith race. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, who is the what? Author. Everybody say author. He is the writer. He is the creator. He is the finisher of our faith. What is your faith level today? We understand this over the last few weeks. We have said this, that faith is the key to access the promises that God has for our life. We see that throughout Scripture where by faith we access the grace that is given to us as salvation. And by faith we access the promises that God's Word has for my life. It's by faith. They don't just come automatically. I've got to access them by faith. Salvation is given to everyone, correct? Yes, but only, is everybody saved? No, only those who access it through faith. Just because Jesus died for the sins of the world doesn't mean the whole world's going to heaven. Only those who have accessed it through faith. See, faith unlocks the promises God has for my life. Paul was very clear. He said, the just live by it, don't he? So the just live by faith. Paul also instructed and said, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that the opposite of what we think? We want to walk by sight and let our faith catch up. But Paul said just the opposite. It's a Christian walk. It's a faith walk. You can't always go because your eyes will deceive you. Your eyes won't always see three-dimensional. Your eyes won't always see the next level God has for you. Your eyes won't always see yourself through the storm. Your eyes won't always see yourself out of the fiery furnace. Your eyes won't always see yourself out of the lion's den. Your eyes won't always see yourself out of the boat in the middle of the storm. Your eyes will deceive you. But faith allows you to look past your storm, to look past your fire, to look past the pit you've been thrown in, to look past the false imprisonment, to look past the false accusations, look past the sickness, look past the things that are going on in your life and say, yes, I am in a season of storm. I'm in a season of pressure, but I see my way out by faith. I see that I will survive by faith. That's why Paul said we live by it. We walk by it. That entails what? That it is implying that we should do it every day. Do you walk every day? Yes, if your legs are working, you walk every day. We should be walking in faith every day. Faith determines how God responds and if God responds. Faith determines how God responds. We've been looking at this the last few weeks. And remember what Jesus said to the blind men when he healed their eyes. According to your faith, let it be done to you. Remember when they cried out to him, Son of David, recognizing he was the Messiah before he'd ever been crucified. And he said, man, this is great faith. According to your faith, let it now be done to you. And their eyes were open. So we see that our faith moves the Lord. So how do you perceive God? That's the question. You got to ask yourself this question. Write it down if you're taking notes. Ask yourself this question. How do I perceive God? What is my depth and knowledge of who God really is? How do I see him? Is he the pie in the sky? Is he the God of the Easter story? Is he God of the Christmas story? Or is he the God of my everyday life? And if so, what kind of relationship do I have with my Heavenly Father? See, how we perceive God affects our faith. Look at this story in Mark chapter 6. Jesus was in his hometown. And remember, he was there and he's teaching and he's trying to do some miracles. And this is everybody's response. Is this not the carpenter? The son of Mary. Isn't his brothers here? Isn't his sisters here? They're all with us. Isn't this the same Brady Knows we used to watch on Saturday nights? Remember that? That's Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Remember the little boy that used to get in trouble? Yeah, you remember the little boy that hung around with James? Yeah, that's Jesus. Yeah. That's what this was their idea. Wasn't he the guy who installed your cabinets? Yeah. You stole my cabinets. That's what they're saying about Jesus. And look what Jesus said. Jesus said that they were offended at him. They were offended at him because he was claiming to be the Messiah. He was wanting to do miracles in their midst, and they couldn't see him for the God he was. They could not perceive him beyond what their eyes had seen. They could not, in their mind, they couldn't get past, he's not God. He's the little boy I used to babysit. He's not God. He's the little boy who was down the street. He's not God. He's the guy who installed my cabinets. There's no way this could be God. And so Jesus said a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now, look what Jesus said. Jesus' response because of their lack of faith was, now he could do no mighty works there. And the way this translates is not that he could not do, that he chose not to do. So it should translate to say that he chose not to do any mighty works there, except, and I want you to get this, he says, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their lack of faith, their unbelief. And this is what I want you to get out of the story. Sometimes we see this and we concentrate on the unbelief here, but I want you to see also the opposite here. That there was some people who were healed. Even though the Savior was there walking, wanting to heal many people, wanting to change many lives, wanting to do many miracles, only a few people received them. Who received it? Only those who perceived him to be the Son of Man, the Son of God. Only those who received him by faith. That's why it's possible today that God can have a blessing for everybody in your row and only you receive it. If you're the only one who engages God by faith, if you're the only one who believes, God, you've got something for me today. God, your word has got a promise I got to hang on to today. God, your word is here, and by faith, I receive that. Just like salvation we talked about, salvation is given to everyone, but only those who access it through faith receive it. So the blessing is for everyone. Did Jesus want to do many healings there? Yes, he did. Did Jesus want to do miracles in their midst? Yes, he did. But he chose not to do very many except for those who engaged him by faith. So this is important that our faith level rises, and it's all depending upon our perception of who God is. See, we see in Scripture there's two things that move the heart of God. Two things that very clearly move the heart of God in Scripture. We see, first of all, in Scripture, we see where Jesus was moved with compassion. Many times in Scripture, we see stories like that. Jesus moved with compassion. He healed them. Jesus moved with compassion. He fed them. Jesus moved with compassion. So we see just out of his sheer love for us, moved with compassion. It was compassion for us, his love for us that drove him to the cross. It was his love for us, compassion. Many times in compassion, Jesus did things surely out of compassion. And it says other times in Scripture, it says that Jesus was moved by their faith. Their faith moved him. There was a lot of people coming to Jesus. Jesus, heal my son, heal my daughter, do this, do that. I mean, Jesus, can you imagine? He's trying to eat his meal. I mean, he's sitting there with his disciples. He's been invited into homes. The word gets out that Jesus is there. And he's like, man, I've been teaching all day. I've been healing all day. People, please, just give me a minute. I mean, I'm just speaking from his human nature. I'm just thinking how you and I would think, right? Just let me have a meal here for a few minutes by myself. And you see people knocking on the windows and trying to stick their babies through the window. Touch my baby! The paparazzi's all out there taking sketches down, you know, in stone. I'm sorry, I watched too much Flintstones growing up. But there was a man who walks in and says, Jesus, heal my daughter. She's so far away. And Jesus is like, you know, it's a long ways away. Give me some time. And he's like, no, Jesus, don't get up. Don't stop your meal. He goes, but if you'll only speak the word, me being a commander in my army, know that if I give a command, that the guys down the line must obey it. I don't have to show up and give the word. If I'll just give the command from here, the guys on the front line will obey my command. And Jesus says, wait a minute. I've never seen such great faith. It moved him. And he said, if you only speak the word, my daughter will be healed. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith. And he speaks the word and moves their faith. The blind man said, Jesus, he says, man, we believe you are son of David. They were saying, we believe you are the Messiah. And Jesus is like, wait a minute. My disciples haven't even got this yet. My disciples, I haven't, at this time, he has not been resurrected. He hasn't been crucified and resurrected. And they're calling him son of David, saying that they believe that he was the Messiah promised. And Jesus is like, I haven't seen this great of faith. Moved by this faith, he healed him. And time again, the Scripture we see where Jesus was moved by people's faith. And so this is why it's important that we grow in our faith. Not only is it a faith fight that we're in, but Jesus is moved by our faith. You want God to move in your life? You want God to move in your family. You want God to move in your finances. You want God to move in your health. You want God to move in your situation you're in, your crisis. Where's your faith? What level is your faith? Because God is moved by our faith. That's why the enemy will do everything in his power to destroy your faith. He will try to plant seeds of doubt. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't hear your prayer. God won't heal you. That's for somebody else. God won't touch your finances. That's somebody else. God won't touch your marriage. That's somebody else's marriage. And he'll do everything he can to destroy your faith because he knows there's power in faith. Disciples asked Jesus in Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus went on to tell a parable about faith and teach them about faith. See, faith is something we got to learn. It's lessons we're taught. This is why I'm spending so much time teaching you about faith according to Scripture, because I want you to have a clear biblical definition of what faith is. Not just something that you've seen somebody tell you or you've seen in action, which is all good, but I want you also to have a clear biblical definition of what faith is. We got to garner some skill along the way. Revelation 12:11, look what it says here about faith. And they overcome him, talking about Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? The word of their testimony. So it's not enough just to say, Satan, the blood of Jesus be against you. That's okay. That's good to you. Sometimes when you're in a battle and you feel a spiritual battle coming on, you just got to rebuke Satan. Say, Satan, the blood of Jesus be against you. I've said that before. And it's a tool we have, but it's not in itself the only tool we have. Use your other weapon as well. He says we overcome him by what? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. We overcome by the power of our testimony. It's one thing to know the Bible says I can be healed. It's another thing to have someone stand up and say, God healed me. It's another thing to know God can shrink a tumor and make it disappear. It's another person to stand up, you know what? My tumor shrank and disappeared. It's another thing to believe God can do a miracle in my finances. It's another person to say, you know what? I begin to tithe. I begin to pray to God, and God turned my finances totally around. It's another thing to believe God has a better job waiting for me. It's another thing to say, you know what? I begin to apply scripture to my life. I begin to work my job as unto the Lord, and I got promoted to a new position. I got a new job that opened up, totally different. I mean, it's one thing to believe that. It's another thing to hear someone testify about it. And you need to be willing to testify about it. When God has done something in your life, don't hold it to yourself. Be ready to give thanks. Be ready to give God honor in your break room, in your neighborhood, in your family. Be ready to testify of what God has done in your life. This helps us overcome, and it helps somebody else build their faith as well. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, that we cast down all arguments and every high thing that what? Exalts itself against the what? The knowledge of God. Why is this important? Because your faith will increase as your knowledge of God increases. The more you understand who God is, about his nature, his existence, his character, his power that he has for your life, the more you get revelation on this, the more you grow in it, the more your faith level is going to increase. And so we've got to be careful. That's why Scripture says, be careful to grab a hold of anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that wants to stop God's knowledge from working in your life. That can be your schedule. That can be friends. That can be things you're putting into your mind, into your life. What are the things? You got to be careful to guard yourself, that anything that comes to destroy the knowledge of God in your life. Because why? Because my knowledge of God has got to grow. I need it to grow. I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Obedience is what? It's a faith walk. I got to bring every thought in captivity to the faith walk of Christ. Sometimes God has got to remove people out of our life who are very good and faith-believing people. But sometimes, in order to grow us, God wants to get us dependent upon him and not them. Sometimes we become way too dependent on other people. See, the first person you should call when you're in a crisis shouldn't be your best friend. No, as a Christian, the first thing I should call when I'm in a crisis should be, God, I'm talking to you. God, I need you. I call upon the Lord. Scripture says, if we will call upon him, he will what? Draw near to us. That's the personal relationship that God has for us. And our first response can't be, I got to call Sally. I got to call my mama. I got to call my dad. Those are all good things. They're in the right place. They're okay. There's nothing wrong with supporting each other and praying for each other and encouraging each other. We need that very much in our Christian walk. But my first response should be, God, I'm going to you. God, I'm looking to you. God, I need your help. God, I need you to build my faith. God, I need you to sustain me. God, I know you are in control of this. I got to provoke my faith to say, God, I'm looking to you. Write this down, that God will sometimes, look at this, God will sometimes remove crutches in our lives that we didn't realize were crutches. We all have them. God will sometimes remove crutches in our lives that we didn't realize had become crutches, so that in return, we will learn to lean on him. That we will lean on him. Sometimes we lean on everybody else in our life, and we haven't learned to lean on God. And if he's ever going to grow us to the point where he wants us to be, he says, I want you to lean on me. Leaning on the everlasting arms. He wants us to learn to lean on him. It's okay to lean on a brother when you need him. It's okay to lean on a sister when you need him. Turn to your neighbor and say, lean on me. Come on. You know you're thinking it. That's all good and great. We need relationships. That's another message in itself. But the first person we need to learn to lean on is God. God, you are my rock and my salvation. God, you are my strong tower. God, you are the peace in the middle of my storm. God, today I learn to run to you. God, I look to you first and foremost. That should be my first response as a Christian. God, I learned to lean on you, to learn to walk to you, to call to you, to talk to you first. God's trying to get us there to build our faith. Look at Hebrews 12:2. We just read it earlier, the first scripture we read. Let me give you that phrase again. He says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, the strength of our faith will be determined. Look at this. The strength of our faith will be determined by the reliability of the object we put our faith in. The strength of our faith will be determined by the reliability of the object we put our faith in. How many know if you don't think the thing that you are trying to have faith in is reliable, you don't have faith, right? I've been doing ministry now almost 20 years. And before that, I've also did management and led a lot of teams of people and business. And I've had a lot of people working with me and for me. And I can just from volunteers to paid positions. And I can tell you this, that there's some people along the way that I just had faith in, that I could just give them an assignment, give them something to do, and I just knew I could walk away and it was going to be done. You ever know people like that? You just know that you just ask them to do something, they're going to get it done. There's been other people, I trusted them that they would get it done, but I didn't always know if they're going to get it done on time. I didn't always know if they're going to get it done right. And so along the way, I'd have to kind of go back and kind of check and make sure, all right, are we getting there? And through time, it took me a while to build faith in them. You see, my faith level will only be as high as what I believe them to be reliable as. Are you catching this, okay? This is why it's important that you really know who your God is. This is why you perceive God in a strong way. How can you have faith in a God you don't believe in? I believe in him. Oh, do you really? How can you have faith when God to move a mountain is all, the only faith you have is he's the God of the cross? I mean, we got to have our eyes open to the wide spectrum of who God really is. See, as my knowledge of God grows, my faith level grows. And I don't care who you are, you'll never learn everything there is to know about God. You should come in every week saying, man, I want to learn something new today. I should get up today, every day, and say, God, today I want to learn something new about you. God, I want to experience you new and afresh every single day. I should be growing in my knowledge of God in my life. See, my knowledge of God will determine my faith level. It's not enough just to attend church on Sunday and be inspired and pumped up by Pastor Gene. It's all right. That's a good thing. But what happens on Monday when you get to work and you're having a bad day? Hang on, time out. Let me grab the podcast and put it in. Everybody's like, what are you listening to? I'm listening to Pastor Gene. I'm getting my faith level raised up here today. That's all good. I can't blame you for doing that. That's all right. Some messages just get better with time. Just shameless plug there, just playing around. But today what I'm trying to say is this, that you're going to have to learn to touch God for yourself. I can't be with you 24/7. You're going to have to learn, God, you're with me. Because scripture says you're as a friend who sticks closer than what? Any brother. His name is Jesus. And he wants to have that personal relationship with you 24/7. So that your faith level increases. That you can walk in the fight, this walk of faith that he has for us. Our faith will grow when our knowledge of God grows. Our faith will grow when our knowledge of God grows. Now, we know knowledge alone is not enough. We talked about this earlier, last couple weeks. Remember that? So I want you to make sure you're clear. I'm not teaching something contradictory to what I've already taught you, because Scripture says knowledge alone is not good. It's knowledge plus our works, our faith in action that produces it. But we're not, faith in action doesn't come without knowledge. Okay, the two go hand in hand. You gotta have an understanding of who God is, and then you gotta put it into practice. You gotta trust. The Word of God only profits those who what? Hear it, right? No. It says the Word of God profits those who hear it and put it into action. Then it brings profit to those who hear it. Romans 10:17 says that we, what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is why we hear the Word of the Lord. And if I don't believe what I'm hearing, I'm in trouble. If I don't believe in the author of what I'm hearing, I'm in trouble. If I don't have a full understanding of the author, oh, is the Bible outdated? Is it really for me? Is some promises for me and others not? If I don't have an understanding, then my faith will be limited. But when I learn to grow in my knowledge of who God is, my faith will go to a higher level. So quickly, I'm going to give you this in closing day. Five quick things I want to give you about knowing who God is. If you're going to grow in the knowledge of God, you got to know these five fundamental things about God. It's the very core of our salvation and knowing who God is for you to grow. Write these down. Number one, you got to believe in God's existence, first of all, first and foremost. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Isn't that a good scripture, right? You want to please the Lord? Learn to walk in faith, because it's not going to happen otherwise. For look what it says. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that he is. He who comes to the Lord must believe he is. It's the first and foremost thing that we have. You must believe he is God. Not just think he is God or just attend on Sunday because you think you're doing a religious duty. No, you must believe he is God of the universe. That there are no other gods before him. That he is over everything, including you and I. Romans 1:20 says it like this. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly, look what it says, we can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. He's saying this, we really have no excuse for not knowing God. He said, let me just give it to you. This is a paraphrase of what he's saying. He's saying, basically, when you walk outside and you see the blue sky with the white clouds floating in the air, you should be like, wow, my God created that. That's cool. That's cool. And the way they go and they pick up rain and then they bring it and they send the rain down to water the earth and then it goes back and it evaporates and pulls it back up and that should blow your mind. When I see the ocean and God, you departed the land here and you created the sea. When I see that a seed can be planted and out of that can grow tree and off that tree can come fruits and flowers and grass. It should be an awe and wonder when I see the mountains and I look at the Grand Canyon. I should be an awe and a wonder and say, this, surely there is a God. And let me tell you this, that man, if you're here today and you battle with hearing, I know students, you're going to hear evolution taught in your school. And I believe in some powers of evolution. I believe God has created evolution. I believe species can evolve over time. I believe they adapt to the sun, the temperature. They adapt to their environment. That's the way God made us. We're adaptable. Species can mix together and hybrids can come out of that and things can evolve over time. But if you think that you were born because the earth got so far away from the sun and two molecules collided out in the atmosphere and an explosion happened, bang, and all of a sudden everything landed exactly where it needed to be, then my eyes just happened to land exactly in my face. It was exactly where I could see. My hands landed exactly on the end of my arms. And my arms landed exactly in proportion where they needed to be. And my feet landed straight and didn't land sideways. And I'm glad my mouth landed here and not, okay, I'm glad my mouth landed here. I mean, if you believe in the bang theory, it just would have you ever seen something blast off? It just kind of, there's no order to it. It just all goes out there scattered. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. I can't look at a picture and think, boy, someone took a bucket of paint and threw that on there and I got a Picasso. No, it took a creator, an artist to define, to draw, to put into proper order. Something as simple as my watch has a creator. How more complex is my human body? That every nerve, that every blood would push through to the heart, keeping it going, the nerves, the brain. I mean, we can't even comprehend. You think that has happened by a bang? Yes, it happened by a bang. I believe God spoke it and bang, there it was. That's what I believe right there. Okay, that's a little fun there. Well, what I'm telling you this, you got to believe God is God. You got to believe in his existence. At the very core of faith is believing, God, you are God. Every time I walk outside, it's just screaming to me, God, you are God. I got to believe in his nature, the nature of who he is. Hebrews 13:3 says this. Hebrews 13:3 says, Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. So what is God's nature? God does not change. Let me say it again. God does not change. He's just not my creator. He's just not some physical force out there in the universe, but he's my Father, my Heavenly Father, my Abba Father, according to Scripture. And I got to believe his nature is the nature of a Father, the Heavenly Father. I got to believe that God doesn't change. What does that mean? That means if he did it for Abraham, he'll do it for me. If he did it for Moses, he can do it for me. If he did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all the love shacks, we out there, man. If he did it for them, he's going to do it for me. He can do it for me. God, if you can do it for the disciples, you can do it for me. If you can do it for Paul, you can do it for me. If you can do it for Timothy and Silas, you can do it for me. It should build my faith in knowing God's nature says I do not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, forever. That means, God, you're the God who was with me in my past. You're the God who's with me now, and you're God who's already in my future. Wow, that should build my faith. My faith level is rising. We got to understand his existence, his nature. We got to understand his character. Understand his character. Hebrews 6:16. Now, when people take an oath, they call upon someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any questions, that oath is what? Binding. God also bound himself. It doesn't say you and I bound him, does it? This is pretty powerful. God bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. God would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. He's given his promise. He's taken an oath that these two things are unchangeable, because God is what? Impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. You got to realize this in God's character. God does not lie. So if we believe God is God, and we believe that all Scripture is inspired and spoken of him, if his word says, I am an overcomer, what's that mean? I'm an overcomer. It doesn't mean that Neil can be an overcomer and I can't. It doesn't mean that Mama can be an overcomer and I can't. No, it means I can't. If God's word says it, I've got to learn to believe it. God, you do not lie. God, you are not a respecter of persons or generations. Yes, you're moved by faith. Yes, you're moved by compassion. But God, if you have promises for me in your word, I can take claim to those promises. God doesn't lie. Romans 4:17. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is his character. He can call the things that aren't as though they are. What's that mean? That means that when you're going through your storm, that things may look dark as the midnight hour. They may look dark as the breaking dawn. You know what I'm talking about. But God has the ability to look into your darkness and say, where there is darkness, let there be light. And there what? Must be light. He can look at you and everybody else see a carpenter. Everybody else see you for the jerk you used to be. Everybody else can see you for the party animal you used to be. Everybody else sees you for the cheat maybe you were at one time in your life. Everybody else sees you for a person who was not a very good reputation. And they may mark you one way. And they see you heading another direction. But when God looks at you and says, I have given you my grace, I have cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. I have given you my grace, and I have washed your sin as white as what? As the snow. It must come into place. The world may not see it, but God sees it and calls it into order. He calls those things that are not as though they were. It's when the wind's blowing and the rain's coming and the storm is, he calls the storm to be peace. It wasn't peaceful until he stepped into the scene, but he caused the things that were not to become as though they were. It's his nature, who he is. You got to understand his existence is there. His nature is there. His character is he will not lie. We're called to hold on to hope. In Hebrews 10, 23, it says, we to hold hope. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. This is our faith. Without wavering, for he who promises what? Faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. This is his character. He will not lie, and God is faithful. So hold on. Turn to your neighbor and say, hold on. Come on, say, hold on. God is faithful. Even when you see your darkest hour, hold on. And number four, we got to believe in his ability. Let me ask you this question. Is he able to do the impossible? Is God able to do the impossible? We see this in the very first chapter of the Bible in Genesis 18. We see the story of Abraham and Sarah where God is promising Abraham a son. It says that God is talking to Abraham and Sarah's eavesdropping, listening from the outside. Ladies, you're busted right there. She's listening. What's God saying to Abraham? When God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. You and Sarah are going to have a son. It says she began to laugh and said, me and Abraham? Me and Abraham are going to, me and Abraham. And she starts laughing. And the scripture is very clear. It says that they start laughing. And she starts laughing about it and thinking, this is kind of impossible, God. Have you seen us? We're old. We're not there no more. Okay, this is not our stage in life. And because she laughed, look what God's response was in 13 and 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? And look what God's response to Abraham was. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And this is the same question he's asking you and I today. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? No. No. There is nothing that's too hard for God. And when you have faith in his nature, when you have faith in his character, when you have faith in his ability that nothing is too hard for God, your faith level rises up. It increases. And the things that when the thoughts come against you, it's too late. That's what Sarah's thought was. It's too late. We're past our season. Some of you had those same battles in your mind right now. It's too late. My season's passed. It's too late for me in ministry. It's too late for me to go back to school. It's too late for me to get another job. It's too late for me to get better in my health. It's too late for my marriage to get stronger. It's too late for my children. No, it's not too late. Why? Because God is faithful, and there is nothing that is impossible to those who believe. My faith level is increasing. I'm closing today with this last point. This is going to come this morning. We got to understand God's willingness. We got to understand God's willingness. God is willing. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is willing. Say it to him. Say the other person. God is willing. God is willing. What's that mean? God wants to help you. God wants to do good things for you. We find this story very clear. First-hand story of Jesus. This is what Jesus had to say about our relationship with God. He says, ask. You ever had somebody you wanted to help and all you wanted them to do was ask? I've had people who I know needed help, maybe needed counseling, maybe my kids, and the only thing I was waiting for them to do was just ask. I was like, I'm just waiting for you to ask. That's all I was doing, just waiting for you to ask. As soon as you ask, I'll help you. Until then, I'm going to let you be frustrated. It's okay. When you're ready to listen to what I have to say, when you're ready for me to give you some answers, just ask. God says, ask. This is our faith level. Ask, and what? Be given to you. Seek it, and you'll find it. Knock. The door becomes open to us. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? Talking about us. Now listen to it. What man among us that if our son asks for bread, will give him stone instead of rocks? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? No. If you then, being evil, talking about us, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is willing to help you. Just think about it. I mean, I get no greater pleasure than helping out my children. Christmas is fun. Birthdays are fun. That's all fun. But you know what the best times are? It's just when dad decides just to bless his kids for no reason. Not because they earned it. Not because they were the best. I just decided, you know what? I just love my kids and I want to bless them today. And I bless them out of the clear blue and we do something. And we just said, man, we're going to go do this today. Let's just take off and do something fun today. Just bless my kids. And they're like, yeah. I get no greater joy than that, man. It's just such a joyful thing. How much more does the Heavenly Father want to do good things for us? How much more is he willing to do good things for us if we will only trust, if we'll only ask, and we'll only believe? This is why I'm trying to raise your faith level today, that you can walk in this faith fight. You can walk by faith and not by sight and experience all the promises God has for your life. Today, I'm going to close out with this time. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet this morning. Here at Destiny, many times we love to come down to the front. And so I'm going to invite you today, if you're here and you would like to join us around the front, simply saying when you step out of your seat, say, Pastor, I want to grow in my faith. I want my faith level to increase. I want my faith level to increase. That's you. I want you just to step out of your seat and just join me around the front today as we close the last song. If you're a guest today, nobody's going to touch you. This is nothing weird's going to happen. We just simply want to come together in agreement and say, God, we want to just say we're stepping out of our seat and we want to step into agreement with the word of God that was spoken of our life today. So I'm going to invite you to scoot in around the front. There's something powerful about this coming together in the front, praying together and singing together. Make room for those coming in the back, guys. There you go. Spread out. Thank you for scooting in. Appreciate it. We're going to close with this song right here. It simply says, God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed in my crisis. Give me vision to see like you do. Isn't that powerful? God, give me faith to see the light at the end of the tunnel. God, give me faith to knowing that, God, you are in control of my life. Give me vision. Give me faith. Let's sing it together today. Let's make it personal as we let faith arise.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. Hallelujah.
Come on, raise your hands this morning. Father, I just want to pray a prayer over them today, God. Everybody in this house, Lord, that you allow faith to arise in our hearts. God, I just pray that you allow faith to increase in our life. God, you're teaching us what it means to walk in faith. You teach us what it means to trust you. God, I pray that we will be people who will walk in faith, not by sight. We'll be people who learn, God, to increase our faith in knowing that, God, you're in control of our life. God, I thank you for your sweet presence of your Holy Spirit. It brings such peace to our lives and heart today. God, you're letting faith rise in your people. And Father, I pray that faith will increase. In Jesus' name, come on. Make it personal as we close out with this.
God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah.
Come on, sing it, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns.
How many received that word from the Lord today? You received that word? Come on, put your hands together. God, I received that word over my life today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Turn around and give someone a big high five. Say, man, it's good to be in this church today. We'll see you at the life group picking tonight. God bless you. Have a great week.